I don't know about you, but I was fascinated by the story in the news this week of the two climbers that reached the top of El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen finally achieved their dream. They climbed up this rock by the notoriously difficult route known as the Dawn Wall. And for a total of 19 days, Tommy and Kevin stayed on the rock, even sleeping there. I think we have a picture of them in their little tent, hanging off the side of the rock there. But what was outstanding about this achievement was that they ascended the rock by free climbing. This means using hands and feet only to ascend the rock's natural features, employing ropes and other gear only to stop a fall. The Dawn Wall is usually considered too steep and lacking enough cracks or seams to climb up by free climbing. It relies on finding tiny little spaces, and sometimes falls do occur. Without safety ropes, death would be inevitable. We continue today with our series on the Psalms, and Psalm 73, which Philip read to us, opens with a statement linked to a personal story. Perhaps you'd like to turn back with me to the psalm. It's page 586 in your Bible. It begins, "Surely God is good to Israel," i.e. the Jewish people, "to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold, for I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." When sin gets the better of us, we can lose our foothold in faith and come tumbling down. And today we're going to look at the sin this author was facing, envy. We all experience it from time to time. Are we going to tackle it like those amazing climbers tackled that rock? Or are we going to let it get the better of us? The author of Psalm 73 admits to being envious of other people who seem to have it all. If you look at verse 4, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from the burdens common to man. They're not plagued by human ills. They have no struggles. It can seem that way when you're going through a tough time and you look around at other people. The phrase you sometimes hear, "what goes around comes around," actually has more to do with the Hindu concept of karma than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bad things do happen to good people, and good things happen to bad. The psalmist expresses this in verse 13 and 14. "I've kept my heart pure, but I've been plagued and punished. It's not fair." The tone of the psalm suggests that the author's talking about those who are not believers. He quotes the people living such a good life, saying, "How can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge?" They don't believe God sees them or cares about what they do. Sometimes it's our fellow believers we're jealous of. Steve and I had two children but wanted a larger family. This didn't happen, and that's a story for another day. Steve accepted the situation, but for me, I developed a terrible jealousy. I would avoid larger families because it was painful to me to see something that I'd wanted but hadn't got. And actually, it stopped me relating to those people in a healthy and normal way. For you, it may be something entirely different. Envy of someone's looks or their possessions or the relationship they're in. Of course, some people struggle with this more than others. But it said where envy is concerned, there are two types of people. Those who admit to being envious and those who don't admit it. For everyone at some time has to deal with this issue. When jealousy gets a hold, what can we do about it? This psalm pivots on verses 16 and 17, if you take a look with me. The psalmist says, "When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me, till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny." Our faith enables us to have a different perspective on life. Verses 23 to 26 list the benefit of putting ourselves in God's hands. He holds us, guides us, gives us the strength we need, and at the end of life will take us to be with him if we trust in him. And Asaph, author of this psalm, lived before the time of Jesus. He didn't have the opportunity to know the forgiveness Christ bought for us when he died on the cross. Those who ridicule our faith or turn their backs on Jesus will never know the peace which is available to us, the gifts that help us live life to the full and cannot be assured of eternal life. These things are worth more than any amount of wealth or success in earthly terms. As Christians, we know this makes sense, but still, we are sinful human beings, and tackling jealousy does not come easily. One thing I know is that we need the Holy Spirit to free us. It's impossible to master it in our own strength. People may point out all the good things in your life and how foolish you are being, but all the advice in the world cannot free us from ourselves. That's why we offer prayer ministry at this church, as there is great strength in admitting a problem out loud and allowing others to pray for us, even if our own faith feels weak. A book I've found very helpful is this one, R.T. Kendall, The Sin No One Talks About, Jealousy, subtitle How to Overcome Envy and Live a Life of Freedom, and the bookstore is going to have a copy of that next week. I'm going to summarise some of R.T. Kendall's practical suggestions with the help of four A's. These are the exam results my children didn't get that I was jealous of other people when their children did get. Our first A is admit. We need to admit it and confess it if we are jealous. We'll not make progress if we sweep it under the carpet. Jealousy leads to resentment and anger, and stunts our growth as Christians. It's not a nice thing to admit to, but if we can, we can be freed from the power it has over us. And confessing it to someone we trust and asking them to pray for us takes the power from us. It's the road to healing. I grew up in this area and went to a youth group at a local church, not this one. Most of the other girls there went to Notting Hill. I went to state school. It felt just like the psalmist describes the people in verse 4. They have no struggles. Although some of these girls became good friends, I was constantly comparing myself to them. They seemed to have it all. Good at sport and music, good looking, popular, brainy, and they usually went to Oxford and Cambridge and ended up with well-paid jobs. The chip on my shoulder was quite heavy, and it can still creep up on me. I need to admit it, confess it, and put it behind me again. The second A is avoid. We need to avoid provoking jealousy in others ourselves. That's a sin too. We've all done it. Sent a postcard from a place we know our friend has got no chance of going to. Showed off new clothes or a new car. Or the dreaded Facebook. We were going through a difficult time with our daughter not long ago, and there on Facebook was a picture of friends we know have a wonderful mother-daughter day out. Facebook can be great, but it needs to be handled with care. Rob Parsons from the organisation Care for the Family says the only people who are really interested in our accomplishments are our own mum and dad. And even then, not always. And perhaps some of us have been on the receiving end of other people's jealousy of us. That's not easy. It prevents us from having healthy relationships with each other when jealousy gets in the way. And in the church, it makes it hard for the Holy Spirit to work, to bless others and to grow the church. Our third A is accept. We need to accept God's calling and his plan for us instead of comparing ourselves to other people, wishing what they had is what we had. What are you good at? Do it with all your heart. Use the gifts God has blessed you with. Don't look over your shoulder at what others can do, because God can make best use of you when you use the gifts he's blessed you with. And you will be most content. People who are content in life are a wonderful gift to others in so many ways. They're able to use the gifts God has blessed them with to the max, without trying to waste time doing something they're not supposed to be doing. There are some very content people in this church, and they really bless me. Our final A is always. Always give thanks. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks for everything. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Contented people are thankful for what they have without wishing they were different, but they rejoice in others' successes. It's a discipline, but worth the effort. There was a craze on Facebook a few months ago where you had to list three things you were grateful for every day. And I must say, it was a really interesting and encouraging experience to do that. The examen in St. Ignatius' spiritual exercises is another way of reflecting back on the day and, whilst acknowledging things that have been difficult, thanking God for how he's blessed us. Time to focus on what we've got to be grateful for is the antidote to jealousy. So as we finish, let's just pause for a few moments and think for ourselves about putting those four A's into practice. Perhaps we could just think of something or somebody that we have been jealous of. Let's take a few moments just to admit that to ourselves and to God. And to say sorry for any times we've deliberately caused someone to be jealous of us. Let's ask God also to help us to accept the gifts he's given us and to use them for his glory. And let's thank him for all the good in our lives. Father, we bring all our prayers to you, the things we've confessed to you this morning, and we ask that you'd give us a new start, a new hope, and that we'd know the strength and power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen.